You're listening to another exciting edition of Duncan's Garage right here on Dragon Digital Radio. We are, of course, a service of Howard Community College. Yours truly, Ron Stafford, keeping you company for the next half hour or so. And when I was thinking about artists to interview, this is back in the fall, we were, you know, planning this earlier, and I'm thinking to myself, there are some songs, and you know this from listening on the radio stations that you listen to in your car or iPods, there are some songs and some artists that truly connect with you, whether that be at a personal moment in your life or somewhere, something that made a personal impact in your life. The woman you're going to hear from today had that for me. I've played her songs when I worked, this is about 17 years ago, at Baltimore radio station. She has a wonderful gospel sound. In my opinion, one of the founders of contemporary Christian music, the gospel format. And her name is Babbie Mason. It's a pleasure to welcome her right now to Duncan's Garage. Babbie, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's an honor to talk with you today.
Well, thank you so much for the time. You have an extensive background. I know you're a preacher's kid. You have your own TV show. You're heading out on a cruise. We'll talk about that later on. You have your own internet radio station. You're a busy woman. You really are.
Well, one thing has led to another in my life, and I just don't want to, you know, sit down and let it all go to waste. There's just so many things to experience in life. And
right.
I just want to use all my gifts and talents to, you know, find a lot of joy and help some people along the way if I can.
That's great. Let's go back to the beginning. You are the daughter of the late Reverend George W. Wade, growing up in the church. Talk about your upbringing. Is this, you live currently in Georgia? Is this the Atlanta area? Just talk about growing up as a preacher's kid and the impact that your dad had on your life.
Yes, I grew up near Detroit, but
okay.
I met my husband Charles in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
And He and I caught that midnight train to Georgia, and I hadn't looked back for 37 years.
Hey, man,
we've been married
go.
For 37 years.
Wonderful.
But I grew up in Jackson, Michigan, not far from Detroit.
Okay. Gotcha.
And the daughter of a Baptist preacher, and thank you so very much for honoring my dad. My dad is he passed away in the 80s, but he left a great legacy. We come from five generations of preachers and pastors, and my dad founded a Baptist Church in Jackson, the Lilly Missionary Baptist Church in Jackson, Michigan. And early in my life, they discovered that I had this propensity for music. We had an old upright piano in our home when I was just a little kid, and I started banging on that piano and playing little nursery rhymes and forming chords and trying to play choir songs. And so they got me in some formal music training in my elementary school years. The next thing I know, our piano player at the time moved to another city, and I stepped into the position as the full-time choir director and piano player at age 9.
Wow.
And they were desperate, but I did the best I could playing, you know, by ear.
Yes.
And I really believe that those were the days, you know, were the foundational days of what I'm doing right now.
Huh.
But and what I've been doing for the last 33 years.
Right.
But I, many years, played the piano for my daddy's church, led the choir, started writing songs, went to school nearby in Spring Arbor, Michigan, got my teaching degree, taught school for a lot of years. But while I was teaching school, just launching into music little by little, getting my feet wet, learning how to write, and in the early 80s, quit my job as a school teacher and launched into music ministry.
Wow. I was looking online. You start out with Word Records. Am I correct in that? Or was that?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Okay.
Well, you know, before we signed with Word, you know, we hear a lot about independent artists and how the internet is giving, you know, a lot of opportunity for independent artists. But I guess you could say I was one of those independent artists in the 80s. Even before I signed with Word, I made 5 records on my own, selling my albums out of the trunk of my car, walking albums into bookstores. And, you know, we just did it because we had music, we had a message, we had a desire,
that's
my
right.
husband and me, and I was traveling and singing even while I was teaching school.
Wow.
But school began to, you know, kind of edge its way into my day job, and it was something that I really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So in the mid-80s, I quit my job as a school teacher and launched into singing full-time.
Okay.
And it was during that time in the mid-80s that I started getting my feet wet as a songwriter. I went to a music conference out in Colorado called the Christian Artist Music Seminar in the Rockies.
Okay.
And ended up winning the first place prize in a couple of categories.
Wonderful.
I won first place as the first place singer, and I wrote the first place song, a song called All Rise.
Oh, yes.
And that kind of opened up the door to getting some exposure, you know, in the industry. And little by little, began to start writing and getting some attention of some publishers and people in the record industry, and ended up signing with Word around 1990.
Okay. And I know you have, am I correct, two adult children? Do I have that correct?
I do.
Okay.
I have two adult sons.
Two adult sons. Thank you.
Who
I couldn't even
are
think of
very talented.
Okay.
Very gifted. Our youngest son, Chaz, is actually in L.A. and just singing up a storm out there. Just recently was singing background vocals. He's a background vocal singer, but as well as a lead singer, but he does get a lot of action singing background vocals for the Who's Who, and he was singing background vocals the other night for Ex-Ambassadors on Conan. He sung on the Grammys behind Pharrell Williams, and he sings in the studio background vocals for a lot of people. He's making a big splash out there in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Our oldest son is an audio engineer, but works in electrical engineering right now. He's also a percussionist, our oldest son, Jerry. They are very talented. Just, as they say here in Georgia, just eat up
the
music.
That's
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, but I think they got a double dose of anything I think I might have. They are super talented.
Well, I tell you, you sound like a proud mom. You really do.
I am a proud mom. Stop me. Just stop me whenever you need to stop me.
No, you're good. Let's actually take our first quick break, and let's let you hear a little bit of Babby. This is actually from a recording from a show she did live. She plays us on the piano. This is from 100 Huntley Street. I found this on YouTube, and I knew I wanted to have this as part of the show. Here's You Love Me, performed by Babby, right here on Duncan's Garage and Dragon Digital Radio. Give it a listen. And we are back. You just heard a wonderful rendition of the song You Love Me, performed by Babbie Mason on a broadcast entitled 100 Huntley Street. Babbie, talk about this. Was this a program that you were invited to? Or, I mean, it's just wonderful. You're in a very wonderful blue outfit. You're at the piano, and it's just fantastic. I saw this on YouTube. Talk about that experience.
Yes. Well, I travel. I get a chance to see the world and doing what I do. I tell you, I love what I do, and I get to do what I love, and that is a real joy to my life. So I travel and sing all around the world, and I was invited as a guest to appear on 100 Huntley Street and talk about my life and ministry and books and music, and they always asked me to sing, and so I sat at the piano and played this song, You Love Me, which is a theme song from a project that I did called Embraced by God.
Yes.
Embraced by God is a book and a Bible study for women.
Okay.
And You Love Me is a part of that project.
Interesting.
And
okay.
I was able to share that song on 100 Huntley Street.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the title here, Embraced by God, Celebrating Who and Whose You Are. It's published by Ebony. Yes. Huh. Very
That's
good.
Right.
Very good. Very good. So was that a national show or was that a local show? Where was that actually recorded? Where
did the 100 program? Huntley Street is actually in Toronto.
Okay. That's what I thought.
But their program, so they're on their own Canadian television network.
Okay.
But they're also on, like, DirecTV. They're on some American stations.
Interesting.
They're on radio. They're on the internet. So they do get a lot of exposure. But I was able to fly into Canada and to sing on the show. And I've been a guest on that show a number of times.
Okay.
And it is a wonderful television network with great guests and music. And they, you know, talk about current events from a Christian perspective. So it is a great show called
Excellent.
100 Huntley Street.
You talk about the impact that your sons are making in music, and then you got into music professionally full-time, mid to late 80s. Your sons are how old now?
Our oldest is in his 40s, and
okay.
Our youngest is in his 30s.
Okay. So take me back to the late 80s, early 90s. Were you juggling being a mom, being away from the kids? How did your husband, how did you juggle your ministry work with singing and being also a mom and a wife?
You know, it just so happened, you know, some artists will get on a bus and they'll tour for days and weeks at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't happen like that for me. Interestingly enough, we never had a booking agent. We never had a manager, and I say that because we never had to. It just so happened that, you know, God just did it. Our phone rang. We wrote songs. We sang it. It was kind of like a ground fire, you know. We started singing in our own local church, and then we started singing in our city, and then our state, and then our region, and our country, and then around the world, and we began to write songs and record music. I basically sang on the weekends. And kind of was able to control my own schedule. And so early on, when we began to see our schedule picking up, I just began to set boundaries and parameters and decided I wouldn't miss PTA meetings and school performances and baseball games. And then when I was traveling on the weekend, oftentimes we pile everybody in the station wagon, take the kids with us.
That's right.
They even grew up in our ministry. Our youngest son began performing with me on stage when he was around age 2.
Wow.
He could sing like nobody's business, even as a toddler. our oldest began, you know, selling product and running sound.
It's a family business.
Setting up and tearing down.
Yeah.
So it was like a family thing. You know, they grew up kind of on the road with us.
Wow.
And then as they got older, you know, I just began to have to learn to say no. And that was real difficult as opportunities came by, but we just kind of picked and chose, you know, our opportunities as best we could. And, you know, my husband was extremely flexible. He quit his job. I have to tell you what my husband used to do. He's kind of a big, burly black dude.
Yes.
When people ask him what he did for a living, he would say, I'm a professional killer. And he was actually a bug exterminator.
Okay.
So he quit his job as a bug exterminator and came on the road with me. So it was really very family-oriented. Oftentimes, if I had to do something real exciting that I had to say, like I really wanted to say yes to, like a Billy Graham crusade or something like that, then he could be at the house with the kids, and I could take off with a girlfriend. And you know, so there was a lot of flexibility there.
Excellent.
But with every opportunity, I'd have to pray about it or if it encroached upon family time, like holidays, or birthdays, or performances, those were just off-limit days that were automatically blacked out. So we learned to perform early in our ministry. We learned early on to perform, to in place boundaries and parameters, and learn to say no when we had to.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing. As you and I were talking off air before we started rolling tape here. I'm the father, proud father of twin girls, trying to raise them up in the, as they say, in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And it's hard. I mean, I've had jobs where, you know, you want to work, but I'm like, I'm sorry, I've got ballet and I've got softball. You know, but you know that you're making the priority that you should. My dad, I remember this when my girls lived with my parents down in North Carolina. I was working weird schedules in this business of radio. And I guess I was walking around at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. I was feeding them. I still remember this. This is 10 years ago. And my dad came in and said something to the effect of, this is the most important job that you're ever going to have. And it's absolutely true. And obviously, when they turn 18, and, you know, and obviously, you know, your job of being a parent is to let them go and, you know, Lord willing, let them go in Christ. But it's, there's so much that goes into them that, you know, I remember, you know, we talked off air about Janet Parshall. Janet, I remember, said at a Moody interview, you can do it all, but you don't have to do it all at the same time. You know,
that's right.
And it's, you have to make sacrifices. People do a lot of things.
What
in their,
I've learned,
yeah,
too,
yeah,
I mean, is that your gifts and your talents are going to follow you all through your life.
Yes.
And when your kids are up and out of the house, those opportunities will still be there.
That's right.
And so, right. You know, make your kids the priority, and then after they're, you know, older, you can pick up where you left off and have the freedom to travel and write. And I'll tell you, I'm still singing and I'm still writing, but I'm doing so much more and enjoying my life. And, you know, so it's not like I missed out on anything, is what I'm trying to say. Mm. I didn't miss out on anything. Mm. And I still, and now I have the best of all worlds. You know, my work, my play, my worship, my family. We've got grandkids, my music, radio, TV, and all of those things now, and we're empty nesters now, and we now have the time to do all that.
Wonderful. Let's have you hear another. This is actually the song that I played on, again, the radio station in Baltimore. The name of this song, it's powerful. This comes from a CD entitled The Worship Celebration. I found this on YouTube. It's just wonderful. It's called With All My Heart. You're getting it right here. This is Babbie Mason on Duncan's Garage and Dragon Digital Radio.
I want you to make this prayer as I'm making it mine. I want you to make this your prayer. It's a prayer of commitment, or even a prayer of recommitment. And it says, Lord, I want to love you and serve you and give you my life. And I want to do it with all my heart. In this quiet place with you, I bow before your throne. I bear the deepest part of me to you and you alone. I keep no secrets, for there is no thought you have not known. I bring my best and all the rest to you and lay them down. With all my heart, I want to love you, Lord, and live my life each day to know you more. All that is in me is yours completely. I'll serve you with all my heart. You faithfully supply my needs according to your plan. So help me, Lord, to seek your face before I seek your hand. and trust you know what's best for me when I don't understand. Then follow in obedience in every circumstance.
And we are back. Yours truly, Ron Stafford, keeping you company for about the next 7-8 minutes or so. You just heard a wonderful presentation, one of her classics, With All My Heart, done by Babbie Mason. Babbie, talk about this song. You said this has going into the hymnals in local church, in, I guess, local and national churches. Am I correct?
Yes. This is an older, more classic Babbie Mason song, one of the first songs that I wrote really in my music career. And, you know, I've been writing songs since the mid-'80s. But this is one of those songs that just continues to live. It continues to be, you know, in print in different projects. And then it ended up in the Baptist hymnal, you know, in thousands of Baptist churches. And I remember the day that the hymnal arrived from the publishing company. And I hollered for the family, you know, to come. Y'all come see the hymnal with my name in it. And my oldest son from the back of the house hollered, "I thought you had to be dead to be in the hymnal," you know, so... They keep me real humble around here.
That's right.
And real grounded.
That's right.
But it's a real privilege to have a song in the hymnal.
Very cool.
You know, your name next to, you know, great writers, you know, like John Wesley and Watts and, you know, some of the great Fanny Crosby and some of the great hymn writers of the church.
Mm. Talk about what goes into writing a song. I've talked with other singer-songwriters. We've got about 6 minutes left, so we have some time to develop this. But talk about what goes into writing a new song or a new idea. Do the lyrics come first? Does the melody come first? Just talk about how you go into writing a fresh new song.
Well, I think what comes first is the inspiration, you know, the idea. And those ideas are inspired by any number of things. It could be something that we say in a conversation. It could be something that I'm reading. It could be something that I hear the preacher say, or something that I heard on TV, some quote or something, some memory from the past. Mm. All of those things can inspire a new song.
Mm.
And I've been writing songs for, you know, a little over 3 decades,
right.
And I've examined songwriting from the inside out. I even teach songwriting at the college level. I teach songwriting at Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee, and Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia, and my alma mater, Spring Arbor University in Spring Arbor, Michigan. And I hold conferences for singers and songwriters as well. And there are components to great songs.
Mm.
You first have to have a great idea. You have to have a title. You've got to have a great opening line. You've got to have a rhyme scheme. You've got to have emotion that, you know, just goes into the song that pulls the listener in. You've got to have great form. You've got to have skill. So I teach songwriting from the perspective that it's not just inspiration, but you've got to have skill. You've got to know how to use the inspiration. You've got to know how to use those tools to really make that song singable and memorable and make it emotional so that it moves the listener and makes that listener come back to that song time after time after time. You know, there's certain things about your favorite song. Think about what that song is. That favorite song that you never get tired of hearing that song.
Right.
And that's my goal as a songwriter, is to make you come back to that song time after time after time and relive that same wonderful, beautiful experience, just like the first time you heard it.
Exactly.
And so that's what I love to do when I write songs, and that's what I love to teach, you know, beginning songwriters, those are the kind of tools that you want to have.
And you know that the song has life because of those elements. And when the song has life, you know that God is in that because it has relevance.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and
absolutely. You know that that's right.
Yeah, it has relevance. It has his fingerprints all over it. We're just the conduit.
That's right. You're just the pipeline. You know, there are some days that I'm just walking along minding my business, and it's as if the heavens open up and just begin to sing. And it's like I'm writing dictation. I can't write the song fast enough.
Right.
And then there are other days that I jumpstart the process with skill. It's like I'm going into the studio next week, and I need to write, you know, an up-tempo opener song for my concert or for the record.
Right.
And I don't have the luxury of waiting necessarily for that inspiration to come out of the heavens.
Gotcha.
I can take my skill. I can use my ideas and all these ideas and titles and quotes and rhyming words that I've actually cataloged in a notebook that I can refer to. And I can go to this idea book and I can pull up that idea and I can jumpstart the idea with my skill set.
Gotcha.
I can find the title and I can find the opening line and I can establish the rhyme scheme and the groove and the melody and all of those things, and then the inspiration will eventually kick in, but it will be jump-started purely with my skill, with my know-how. So you can write songs, you know, a couple of different ways. You can use inspiration or you can use perspiration, but either way, you can get it done.
That's right. That's right. We've got about 2 minutes left. I just want to let our listeners know you have a lot of projects. You have Babby's House, which is a wonderful program. It's on DirecTV. I saw the episode you did with Regina Bell. You're sitting down. It's like you're having a cup of coffee with you and your best friend. You know how to work TV. You really do. That's just a fun show to watch.
I'm so glad you saw that. Yeah, I'm doing Babby's House on TV, and I have an internet radio station, and conferences and workshops where we help independent singers and songwriters called the Inner Circle. You can get all of that information at my official website at babby.com, or you can download the Babby Mason app and, you know, run with me every day. You know, there's just a lot that I'm doing, too much to talk about right now. We don't have the time, but
Sure. Just
know that I love to pour into the lives of up-and-coming singers and writers. And so if you're interested in, you know, stirring up the gift of songwriting, you're curious about it, get in touch with me. Just go to my website or check me out on Facebook or social media. Go to babby.com, first name only, babby.com. Check it all out there and stay in touch with me.
Excellent. Thank you so much for the time today. It was absolutely a pleasure to have you on by phone. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. It's good to talk with you.
You too. Again, that is Babby Mason. Check out her website, Babby, B-A-B-B-I-E. Don't type it in wrong now. Don't do that. B-A-B-B-I-E.com. She's heading on a cruise with Dr. Stanley. She's got a BabbyMasonRadio.com. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's going to do it for me, Ron Stafford. Thanking you so very much for being right there. Until next time, make it a great day and an even better tomorrow.